Honor the reading of God's Word this morning. I've been preaching through the book of Nehemiah on Sunday nights, and there was a text that really interested me in Nehemiah, and it was a text where they had all the people standing. Nehemiah and Ezra the scribe, they had all the people of God standing. And it said, and all the people said with one voice, Amen. I read that text and I thought, Lord, I'd die of a heart attack if I could get everybody to say amen all at one time. So I want to see if I can get everybody in this room, I'm talking about male, female, young, old, it does not matter who you are in this congregation this morning, I want to hear everybody with a loud voice say amen on three. One, two. This is Pastor Appreciation Month. One, two, three.
Amen.
Oh, glory to God. That's beautiful. Amen, Abishai. Amen. Amen. Train them young. Train them young. Amen. Genesis chapter 2 this morning. We began a couple of Sundays ago. We've been preaching just something that the Lord has put in my spirit on the home. And I believe the home needs to be reviewed and studied every once in a while. I believe the man's role needs to be made plain. The woman's role needs to be made true. And we all need to know what we can do to work together to make our homes a Christian home. We began last Sunday with this thought in our minds on the naked truth. And we take our text out of chapter 2 of Genesis, verse number 25. It said, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. And from chapter 1, verse 1, on up through verse 25 of chapter 2, you're building the home. And he gets down to the very last verse whenever the home is finally consummated and put together with one man and one woman. He said they were both naked and were not ashamed, the man and his wife. And we've taken that text and we're beginning a series of thoughts on the naked truth about the home. And I pray that these messages will help you in your home. I know that they help mine whenever I study it. My wife has always said that she loves it when I study on the home because I treat her better. Amen. Amen. But I want us to back up from verse 25 and I want us to go into verse 18. And we're going to read from verse 18 through verse 25. And then we're going to come back and recap just a moment from our previous thought. And then we'll continue our thought on the home. It said, and the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. Now, a lot of times preachers will run those two words together and call it an help meet. But they're two separate words, meaning two individual things. The word help means to be supportive, to be an aid. It means to surround. And the word meet means qualified and proper. So God said, I'm going to make him an help, someone who can support him, who is qualified meet to meet his needs. And he said, I will make him an help meet for him. And out of the ground, the Lord God formed every beast of the field, every fowl of the air, and brought them unto Adam to see what he would call them. And whatsoever Adam called every living creature, that was the name thereof. Adam had just been created, but he had full intelligence. He would bring an animal up there and say, Adam, what does this look like to you? He'd say, well, that's a giraffe. That's what the name of it was. He'd bring another animal up. He said, well, that's a pond scoggin. That was the name of that creature. He said, what is that? That's a raven. And he named all the animals and all the birds of the air, Adam named them. Verse number 20, and Adam gave names to all cattle and the fowl of the air, to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found an help meet for him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. Man's been saying, whoa, man, ever since. Amen. And she shall be called woman. That's a man with a womb. Man doesn't have a womb. To this generation, you have to be mighty plain. Man doesn't have a woman has a womb. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Our Heavenly Father, this morning I pray that God, you please be with us. Lord, without you, Father, Lord, there'll be no understanding. There'll be nothing, Father, that'll be of any worth, Lord, during this message. And I pray, dear God, that, Lord, you please enable me. And Lord, I need the enabling hand of God upon me. But endue me with the power of God, Father, please, that I might be of benefit while I stand behind this pulpit of wood. And Father, I pray, God, that, Lord, you would please give me the understanding that's needed through the course of this entire day. And Father, I pray not for myself alone, but I pray for every person that's in this room. Lord, we've drawn aside for some little while to gather ourselves around the Word of God and learn something from Thy holy book. God, would you please open up our understanding? Would you please open up our hearts to you? And God, that we might receive that engrafted Word which is able to save us from eternity and from things of this life. And Father, we love you and thank you and praise you for loving us. And God, favor us now in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You can be seated. We'll try it again. Time out. I'm going to throw it at somebody. Amen. No, I'm not. All right. Genesis chapter 2. Didn't we read the scripture? Amen. In these messages, I do want to be spiritual and I do want to be sensible in talking about the home. I want to be spiritual because the home is a spiritual issue. It was created by God. Even though we may consider a home, a marriage, if you will, to be strictly physical because of the human aspect of a home, the marriage is a spiritual issue. And that's important for all of us to understand. It's not just man-made. It is God-made. God designed a man and a woman and put them together in a spiritual setting. And so I do want to be spiritual in these messages, but I do want to be sensible because there is no such thing as a perfect husband. Can I get all women to say amen right there? And there's no such thing as a perfect wife. Can I get a amen right there? Amen. See how the men are scared to say that. But we do need to understand some truths from the Word of God concerning marriage. The home is a special unit that is under attack today. It is a God-giving institution that the devil and all of his minions have attacked from Genesis chapter 3 until our very present hour. The Satan hates a marriage. He hates a home. He hates a union between a man and a woman. And he's going to do everything he can to frustrate it, to cause it to fail, to bring in all kind of things that would try to ultimately divorce and divide a home. Debbie and I have done down through the years, we've set in many marriage counseling sessions. And during those counseling sessions, I'm going to try to stay behind the pulpit, Brother Bobby. But with all of those counseling sessions, we have found that when there's an issue within a union between a man and a woman, that sometimes it is just one-sided. It's a one-sided issue. In point in case, there's been times that we've counseled people, and one individual, maybe the man or the wife, has committed sin against their partner in some adulterous relationship, and it's a one-sided issue. But then there's other times, and this is normally the case for most marriage sessions, is that it is two-sided. He said, she said. He did that, he did this. He didn't do that, she doesn't do this. And no matter what it may be, I always try to stay focused and try to impress upon any person wanting counseling that a marriage must have three sides. It must have the inclusion of God in it, or it will not be a marriage designed by God. You can put up the next slide for me, Brother Bobby. It will not have the elements of God in it if we do not include the Lord. Here's a picture of a man and a woman walking together, holding a Bible together. And us men need to know some things of what it is to be a biblical husband. We're not going to learn these things from Hollywood. Can I get a witness right there? We're not going to get any wisdom from Dear Ed. We're not going to learn what we need to learn to be a godly, biblical husband other than from the Lord. The first naked truth that we discovered last Sunday was that only God can make you a husband. Only God can build a husband out of a man. I was born in 1953, born into the home of a good home, not a necessarily Christian home, but it was a good home. And I was raised to believe that there was a man and a woman, and the man was the head, the woman was the heart, and the children were the hope of a home. And that's how I was raised. My dad was a good man. He was a strict disciplinarian. And my dad taught me some things about what it is to be a man. But to be a husband, only God can make a husband out of us. Last Sunday, we looked at the first few verses of chapter 2 in which God formed man out of the dust of the ground. He breathed in his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And then the Lord told Adam, he said, I want you to dress this garden. I want you to keep this garden. And then he commanded the man not to eat of the tree that was in the midst of the garden. And we learned this last Sunday, that the woman had not even been made yet. It was the man and God. Just the man and God. And God was training and teaching that man how to be a husband. And only God, naked truth number one, only God can make a husband out of you. But now we come, last Sunday we looked at the creation of the home, but now we want to consider God's concern for the home. I want to ask you something. If God had left it right there at the end of verse number 17, what would we have today? All we would have, and we wouldn't even be here to know about it, all we would have would be God and Adam. But that was not God's plan. God had a bigger plan. He had a bigger vision for what a home should be. And we began there where God said that He looked at the man and that it was not good that man be alone. He said, I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to make a help meet for that man. And God took that man and put him in a deep sleep. And he put him in that sleep, and while he was asleep in the perfect will of God, God formed, and I say hallelujah, I say bless the name of God. He made a woman for that man. I'm glad he didn't make another man. Glad he didn't make an ape. He made a woman for that man. God, in his infinite wisdom, knew what he was doing when he made a woman for us men. Can I get a witness right there? I thank the Lord that I said this one time before, and I shouldn't have said it. I said, I love women. I didn't mean it. I thank God for women. Amen. I'm glad God gave me a woman. Amen. God knew what he was doing when he made that woman to be the helpmeet. But I want you to look at the text this morning. In verse number 18, God says that it's not good that man should be alone. It's not good for a man to be by himself. And so God said, I'm going to make a help, somebody that can help him, somebody that can ease his burden, somebody that can complement, not complicate, somebody that can come alongside and be of service to that man. And God, in his wisdom, made a woman to be that complement to that man's life. Now, I want you to remember that God had already given that man work to do. He said, I want you to work. I want you to dress that garden. He said, I want you to keep that garden. That man was there to make sure nothing entered that home that would destroy that home. And he said, I want you to listen to me about the home. He said, man, that tree in the midst of that garden, don't eat of it. Don't eat of it. He gave all of that to the man before the woman was ever made. Now he's created a woman to help that man labor, look out, and to listen to God for the home. When God made Adam and put him in that garden, he put him in that first home, and I want you to notice our text, when God said that I'm going to make a help meet for him, that the very next thing that he does in the text is bring all the animals to Adam to see what Adam would name the animals. He brought the dogs and the squirrels and the cats. He brought the antelope and he brought all the birds of the air. And he asked Adam, what do you call that, Adam? And Adam would name every one of those animals. But notice at the end of verse number 20, it said, but for Adam, there was not found an help meet for him. In other words, Adam's coon dog did not fit the bill. Well, we've heard it said that a dog is man's best friend. Not according to God. Woman is man's best friend. Let me get more specific. The wife is man's best friend. Can I get a witness right there? You see, I saw a bumper sticker one time that said, the more I know about my wife, the more I love my dog. And we got a poor attitude today about marriage and about relationships. We've got a very worldly attitude. We become almost like the Lockhorns in the comic strip. And we've gotten our own way of looking at things, but God never made an animal to be in help meet for a man. A man ought not love an animal more than he loves his wife. He ought not to love fishing more than he loves his wife. He ought not to love hunting more than his wife. He ought not to love his animals more than he loves his wife. His wife, this should be his first love in his life. And so we see naked truth number one, only God can make a husband out of you. But naked truth number two, men, and I'm sure every woman is going to write this down. Number two, naked truth, men need help. Well, I lost about half the men right there. Because you see, we're the ones that think we don't need help. We're the ones that will not accept help very easily. We're the ones that we think that we got it all together. We think that we're self-supportive. No, we're not self-supported. God looked at man and said, it's not good that you be alone. I'm going to make somebody that can help you and be needing that help. And he made a woman. Bless his holy name. So we can credit Miss Debbie for this second naked truth that men need help. We were talking along these lines one day and she said, see there, I was talking about the thought about a help meet. And it was when God first showed me that it was two separate words. And she said, see there, John, you need help. Well, and see, men don't believe that we need help. Men think, see, we were given dominion. Do you know who invented all sports? Men did. Women didn't invent sports. Men did. Why? Because we are competitors. We're conquerors. We're the ones that want to be in control all the time. And when we've got a woman that tells us that you need to do this, we rebel at it. Can I get a witness? Go back to the previous one just a minute, Brother Bobby. So we've got to build our homes based upon the Word of God. We've got to understand some things about the Word of God and about our relationship with our spouse. Naked truth number two, men, we need help. Men, we need help. We can't do this by ourselves. And God, in His infinite wisdom, put a woman in a man's life to be that help meet for him. Whenever God put Adam to sleep and took that rib from his side. Now look here. He took that rib from his side. That means that man had to lift his arm to give that rib. That's why a man always wants to put his arm around a woman. To show of where she came from. She came from the side. She didn't come from the head to be a bone head. She came from the side because she's a rib. She didn't come from a bone in our feet so we could trample over her. Came from our side. And when we lift that arm, it's an expression of, you can come and find protection up under my arm. You can find love up under my arm. It came from this side. I'm convinced it came from this side. On the side of where the man's heart is at. I was talking with Tim Mitchell yesterday about some of these things, Sister Kathy. And I said some things about man's heart, and Tim started patting this side of him. He said, yeah, the heart. And I thought, that ain't where your heart is. And he had me all befuddled. I was thinking, man, I've had this thing wrong all my life. You know, I mean, that was Tim Mitchell, you know. But he lifted his arm so God could take that rib and make a woman. What did he make the man out of? Dust. What did he make the woman out of? A rib. Two different substances. And this is naked truth number three. Men and women are different. I told you I'm going to be spiritual and sensible in these messages. Men and women are different. Women do not act or think the way a man does. Can I get a bold witness right there? We don't. I wrote some things down and I want you to listen to this. I wrote some things down. Man thinks with his eyes and a woman thinks with her emotions. Am I right about it? We look at something, we analyze it and we think about it through our eyes. But a woman thinks and looks at things through her emotions. Give you an example. Years ago, when we were still living in Waycross, I had a garden in the backyard. And I grew all kind of vegetables back there. And I love jalapeno peppers. So I grew some bushes of jalapeno peppers. And I would take the boy, Matt wasn't even born at the time. But I took Corey out there in the garden one day. And I was going to show him how you could take a knife and go out in the garden and pick a cucumber and cut that cucumber up right there in the garden and eat a cucumber in the garden.
So I did. It was thought I had my knife and I showed Corey how you could peel that cucumber and take a bite of that cucumber right there in the garden. He thought that was the coolest thing. And then I told him, I said, now, son, you see those bushes right there with those green, long peppers on them? They're called jalapeno peppers. Son, don't ever eat one of those. Well, you know when you tell a kid. I mean, it's the Garden of Eden all over again. Don't, and they do. And I said, Corey, don't ever touch one of those jalapeno peppers. Well, next thing I know, when my back was turned, Corey went over there, plucked one of those things, bit into it, and he came out of that garden screaming like a Comanche engine. Well, my wife, looking at it through her emotions, she got upset because I let her darling little boy eat a jalapeno pepper. That was the way she looked at it. I looked at it, well, bless God, he won't never eat one again. We look at it through our eyes. A woman looks at it through her emotions. I thought of another thing. Man is a conqueror, but a woman is compassionate. We're just built to compete. We like to be on top. We like to be the ones that win. We like to be the ones that are domineering. And God just made men like that. But the woman is the compassionate one. Little Junior runs out there on the porch and hits his head on the brick wall. And Dad says, "I'll get up." And the woman says, "Oh, little Johnny." See, a man is a conqueror, but a woman is compassionate. Should be anyway. Usually. I ain't even going to look over there. I thought about a third thing. Man is practical, but woman is personal. Many of you ever said anything to your wife and she said, "What do you mean by that?" Come on, y'all. It's okay. Y'all can, men, y'all can nod your head. I remember I had this in some old notes, Brother Terry. Years ago, when Tabitha was still, she was still in the youth group and all, there was a bunch of youth standing around one day, and I overheard them talking about this one was on this diet, that one was on that diet, you know. They're all talking about these diets that was on. I'm thinking, teenage kids on diets, man. And I walked over and I started listening to the conversation, and I looked at Tabitha and I said, "Tabitha, you on a diet?" She said, "What are you trying to say, Brother John?" I didn't mean nothing by it. That's just how women are. What do you mean by that? What do you mean by that? You see, a man is practical, but a woman takes everything personal. A man was talking to his wife. They were going to be celebrating the 25th wedding anniversary. And she said they were both car enthusiasts. And he said, "Well, what do you want for our anniversary?" She said, "I don't care. I just want it to go from 0 to 200 real fast." So he bought her a bathroom scale. And you know, you just don't do it. She takes things personal. You see, you don't do that. That's not the way you do that. There's just some things we need, men, we've got to learn about our wives. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, that we're to dwell with them according to knowledge, because they're different from us. They're not the same as we are. They don't act and respond. They don't think. They don't deal with things the same way that we do. And thank God they don't. I'm glad this thing's not just all men. I'm glad God put a woman there for a different side of things, a different view of things. There's just some things, men, you should never say to your wife or do around your wife. Number one, Brother Bobby, men, we should never say to our wives is this: "What's wrong with your hair?" She's going to take that personal. What happened to your hair? Another thing that we should never say to our wives is, next one, is, "Did you eat all of that?" She's going to take that personal. The next one. Another thing that we shouldn't say is, you're beginning to act just like your mother. And another one we shouldn't ask her is when she puts on the next one. When she puts on something else for us, well, it looks the same to me. And she's trying to impress us with her clothing. Another thing that we should never say to a woman is this one, the next one. What did you do all day while I worked at the office? And another thing that we should never say is this one, and this is my wife's favorite one. I didn't hear you say that. I didn't hear you say that. My wife says that I do not listen to her. Does any of the men in this room have that trouble? You never listen to me. My wife has always said, I told you that, John. I told you yesterday. I told you. I don't know what it is about us men. We're just built that way. I don't understand. I would to God, honestly, I thought about going to go get all the bell hearing tests done and all of this stuff. I thought about all these things. Is there something wrong with my membranes in my ears or whatever? Because honestly, there's been so many times she said, I told you yesterday. Honest to the Lord, I don't remember. Is there any other men in here? I need support right here. Is any other men in here like that? Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. See, it's a man thing. And they say, well, you got selective hearing. Well, we might. But it's been proven, Brother Ben, I think you brought this out a while back, that women talk about 10 times as much as a man. Whoa, you should have seen the looks I just got. Women talk about 10 times as much as most of us men are quiet. Most of us are quiet. And we go out and work and do our thing and we say our words while we're out there. When we come home, we don't have many left to say. And a woman's got about 10 times that much to say on top of it. Well, I better go on, hadn't I? There's just some things that you don't say to a woman because she takes things personal. But women, there's some things that you should not demand of your man. Number one, you should not demand that you live above your means. And a woman will put a lot of pressure on a man to have things, to buy things. And you should never put pressure on your man to live above your means. Number two, women, you should never put everything else first. I thought I'd get a big witness from the men out there. Some women have trouble with putting other things first before her husband. God gave you to your husband. I better say that in one more time. God gave you to your husband to complement him, to be his companion, and to be there with him. Not living two separate lives. God gave you and made you for the purpose of your husband. The Bible says that man was not made for the woman, but the woman was made. Ladies, are you listening? The woman was made for the man. That's your God-given design in life. Was you were made to be the complement to your husband. That's the naked truth of it all. That's just how God set up a marriage. And I know that homes have gotten just so out of order today. But if we're ever going to experience the blessings of God upon our marriages, We must get back to the Bible truth, the naked truth of what a marriage really is. I've read some things. A great marriage is not when the perfect couple comes together. It's when an imperfect couple learns to enjoy their differences. Marriage takes three to be complete. It's not enough for two people just to meet. They must be united in love by love's Creator. And it needs a oneness that comes only from Jesus Christ. I read this one and I like this saying. It said that marriage is the lifelong journey of learning to love like Christ. Can I be kind of transparent right here? There's been times that I've wondered, I'm trying to figure out how to word this real carefully. There's been times that I've wished my wife was another way. There's been times. And I'm sure there's been times she would wish I was another way. But the Lord is teaching me to love her the way He loves me. He's teaching me to love her the way He loves me. He wished I was another way at times. I'm sure most of the time in my life. And God loves me anyway. And that's the way God wants me to love her. And that's the way she should love me. You ever wondered why a wedding ring? A fellow noticed one time, that his buddy had his wedding band on the wrong hand. When he questioned that, he said, "Yeah, I married the wrong woman." You ever wondered why we put this wedding band on the left third finger, that's the thumb, the third finger of the left hand? There's an old myth that says this about this left third finger called the ring finger, that it is the only finger that has a vein that runs directly to the heart. That's a myth. But back in the early Christian church, whenever they would do a wedding ceremony, there was a little ritual that the minister would do. And they would take the ring, the minister would take the ring, and he would take the first finger and he said, "In the name of the Father." And he would take the second and he said, "In the name of the Son." And "In the name of the Holy Ghost." And he would slip that ring on that third finger, giving the marriage ceremony credence, the vows credence on that third finger. And they said that that third finger is the finger of love, what the Romans called it. I'm glad God gave me a love for my family. I'm glad God gave me a wife. And the Bible says that a man that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Naked truth number one, that only God can make a husband out of you. Naked truth number two, man needs help. Naked truth number three, man does not understand a woman. And can I get a witness right there? While we all stand this morning, everyone standing. If you're thankful for your wife, I thought a lot about this, that how God has tried to build mine and Debbie's relationship. The Lord never put the woman in that home as the spiritual leader. He put the man there to be the spiritual shepherd of that home. Men, it's like this. I'm the pastor of a church, and God placed me in this position to be an overseer, to take the oversight of you, to make sure everything goes the way God wants it. It's the same way in a home, that God put a man in a home to be the overseer, to watch over that home and make sure that that home is run the way God wants it. He didn't put the woman there. The woman should not be the head of the home. It's been said that a home with two heads is a monster. Anything with two heads is a monster. And many put that on us, to be that spiritual leader, to be that head in that home that God has purposed us to be. But ladies, He's put you there to complement, not complicate. To be there for Him, not to compete with Him. Not to be a nagger, here nag, there nag, everywhere nag, nag. But to be somebody that helped that man be all that God has purposed him to be. Many times in being a minister of the gospel, there's a lot of times that I spend in study and upstairs and away from my wife. And I never hear a complaint about that. A lot of hours I spend. I went up there one day this past week, Brother Terry, in my study. And I walked in there about 5 o'clock that morning. I walked out of that office at 8:30 that night, working and laboring and studying and just in the book, just trying to get something from God. And my wife never put pressure on me to do this. She just understands that that's what God called me to be. He put me in my garden. And she's there to compliment me in that garden. When she does what she should do, our garden will be all that God wants it to be. With our heads bowed and eyes closed this morning, let's get a peek.